Okay, today's daf is Chet Zion. We're going to start at Yud Zion, Chet Vav Amud Aleph, Amud Bet, sorry. Okay, Rufu Shlomo. First, Varabatina, Ozavram Shuma Menchana, Karmi Batnim, Orli Penina Bat Rachel, Frida Chaim, Alka Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Ben Miriam Chayrut, Yosef Ben Rachel, Lea Bat Rivka.
Okay.
Yeah, we added a few. Okay, so we were, if you remember, we were trying to talk about what if we had two people say, or one person say b'fanai nechtav, and one person say b'fanai nechtam. Can we be mitzarev? Can we join them together? So for the most part, most of the cases we said no. We're going to go through some of them again today. But what we're doing now is we're going off on a tangent, as I promised, about all sorts of issues where can certain things join each other. So we're getting totally off track. We have Amar of Chista here. We're about 12 lines from the bottom. Gidud chamisha u'mechitza chamisha eim estarfin ad shihei o kulo b'mechitza o kulo b'gidud. Okay, what if you have, when we talk about a reshit yachid, it needs to have its 4x4 amot, a space of 4x4 amot, for something to be considered its own reshut, which then gets into halachot of, you know, all sorts of issues, but particularly Shabbat, like being motzimi reshit yachid to reshit arabim, or reshit yachid to reshit yachid acher. So what if, generally, we say that a reshit yachid can be 4x4 amot of area, or of, right, what do you say, right, area, 4x4, of length, width, right? But then height has to be 10 tefachim. Now, it could be 10 tefachim above the ground, and it could be, if you dig a bore, let's say, okay, you dig a well or some sort of ditch, and the ditch is 10 tefachim deep, so that would also be. So now the question is, what if you have 5 tefachim below ground and 5 tefachim above the ground? Does it join? So if Chista says no, it needs to be either all above the ground or all below the ground. Darish Miremar, but Miremar says, Gidu chamisha mechitza chamisha mitztarfin. Okay, Miremar disagrees, and he says they are mitztarfin. By the way, Rav Chista was the one who said in our case, also it wasn't mitztaref. Okay, so he matches his opinion here. And now the Gemara tells you, Hilchata mitztarfin. We actually hold that they do join. Okay, even though Rav Chista thinks they didn't. Okay, another question, right? It's nice when it adds Hilchata, right? Often, we've discussed it before, often when it adds Hilchata, it's a later addition. It's, in fact, there's one case where it says it, and the Ramban himself says that Rav Yehudai Gaon added it. I think it was Rav Yehudai Gaon or maybe Rav Hai Gaon. He says that was an addition of one of the Gaonim. Not even, right, we've talked about Svaraim, which are the Amoraim and 500, Svaraim of 500 to 800. He claims it was even after that that the Gaonim added it. In one particular place he says it, and the academics all say, oh, look, he says it there. You know, we could say it in other places. By Ilfa. Okay, Ilfa asks another question now. Yadayim tahorot l'chatzaim, o ein tahorot l'chatzaim. Okay, now we're talking about netilat yadayim. Can you do half-half? Okay, now what does it mean half-half? This is going to be the Gemara's question. Hey, chidami, what does it mean chatzaim? Okay. Ilema dekamashu beyada, dekamashu beytrei mirevid. There's a halacha that your cup has to have a revid of liquid in it, of water in it, to wash netilat yadayim. Okay, a certain measurement. So maybe chatzain means we took one cup with a ravid and we washed two people's hands. Maybe that's what his question is. Okay, by the way, the whole flow here is going to be like this. We're going to say, what was Ilfa's question? We're going to suggest something, and then we're going to say, well, it's explicit in a Braita or a Mishnah, and therefore it can't possibly be that that's what he's asking a question about, something that was so clearly obvious. So they say, if it's that two people can wash with one revit, v'hatnan, it says in the Mishnah, mi revit, notzlim liyadayim, le'echad, v'afilu lishnayim. There's an explicit Mishnah, it's the first Mishnah in Yadayim, okay, Masechet Yadayim, which says, basically, you can wash for revit, even for two people. So therefore, it can't possibly be the Abba's question. Ve'ela dekamash echad echad yadeh, maybe it's that he washed one hand, took a break, then washed the other hand. V'hatnan, don't we know also from a Mishnah, something weird here. The note says, there's a different girsa. I think Rashi's girsa says it's Vahatanya, which means it's from a Braita, not a Mishnah. But it actually is a Mishnah, so it's very strange why Rashi doesn't think this was a Mishnah. There's some strange thing going on here. But anyway, that's just a side point. Vahatnan hanatel yado achat bin nitila, vahat bishtifa yadav taharot. If you wash one hand from a cup, and your other hand you dip into a mikvah, then that's fine. So therefore, it can't be that he was asking that question, you know, one hand one way, one hand another way, or on two separate occasions. It can't be, because we see from the Mishnah, it's tahor. Ve'ela dekamashe palga palga didei. Maybe he's washing half his hand, and then he washes, and then he dries it, and then he washes the other half of his hand, okay? Let's say his fingertips, or two fingers, and then three fingers, or something like that. And he dries it in between. Maybe that's it. V'ha'amre debe rabiyana yadayim ein tahorot l'chatzain. But Rabbi Yana already says you can't do that. Okay? Everyone assumes that what Rabbi, even though his question wasn't clear what he means l'chatzaim, everyone assumed that what Rabbi Yana meant with yadayim ein tahorot l'chatzaim meant that you can't wash half your hand, dry it, then wash the other half of your hand. So it can't be that. So what are the answer now? Now we're going to finally write the, if you notice, the first two were obviously yes. The third one was obviously no. And now we're going to say what it is. Lo tzricha. So now we're going to say it really is half your hand, except with one difference. It's a case where you washed half your hand and you didn't dry it in between, and now you wash the other half of your hand. Now what's going to be the issue here? Lo tzricha di'ika mashke tofeach. So now they're going to say it means that what happened was you had water on your hand still. You didn't dry it on one half of your hand. And now the question is, if you wash the other half of your hand, can you say that it connects? That since your hand is still wet, we can see this as all one washing. Even though you washed it separately, can we look at it as one whole washing because you still have... Now, what's mashke tofeach? Mashke tofeach is that it's wet enough that if it were to touch something, it would get the other thing wet. Okay, we're going to see different gradations today of how wet it is. Okay, there's tofeach, and then I'll already be makdim, but we're going to get to soon, which is this tofeach lahatpiach, which means what, if you can think about it? If mashke tofeach is you have enough water to get something else wet, so tofeach lahatpiach means you have enough water that if you got something else wet, that could also get something wet. Very good. So that's going to be another, right, a bigger quantity of water. But now they're going to say mashke tofeach. So if you have mashke tofeach, what's the question? Can you say that since it's still wet, that we look at this as all one washing, we kind of, I'm going to use the word chibor, we look at it as one chibor, like one unit. I'm using chibor because we're going to see that in a minute. Or do we say, no, you wash this separately, you wash that separately, it doesn't matter that there's water on it. And that's the question. Since it's just a teeny, like water droplets, do we count that or not to be like a continuum? So now they say, wait a minute. Why would you even think that mashke tofeach would work? V'hatnan, we have a Mishnah that says, hanitzok v'akatferes u'mashke tofeach eino chibur lo l'tuma v'lo l'tahara. So what does that mean? Okay, we've learned about this nitzok, if you remember. Nitzok means you're pouring from one kli into another kli. If you remember, we saw it with honey. Because honey's so thick, therefore, we're going to look at it as one continuum, but other things like water, by a certain kind of honey that was particularly thick. But if you're pouring a zipin, I think it was called. Okay. But if you're pouring water from one kli into another, and let's say the bottom kli is tameh and your top kli is tahor, so as you're pouring the water, do we say that this is one continuum and what now was in the top kli also becomes tahor? And the answer is no. It's not considered chibur. Only what goes into the new kli at the bottom, unless, like we saw with the zipin, it was so thick that we have to view it as one unit. But generally, we don't view it as one unit.
What if there's splashback?
Right, so that could be a separate issue. If we really, I think even, right. So we actually saw that in the sugya there. They said, what if it goes back in? So I think if you actually see it splash back, then it would be a problem. But the assumption here is that you're just watching it go down. You'll see the next case is also going down. Kat peres is when you have an incline, like a wooden plank, and you start pouring the water down the wooden plank. So again, let's say it gets into something at the bottom that's tameh. Do you view the entire thing as also tameh, even what's at the top? So again, the answer is no. And mashke tofeach. Okay, if you have this mashke tofeach, like little droplets of water, and it's on something, right? Like, let's say there's something that has, the example I said and give was, I think Rashi explains it maybe, there's a gutter, like on a roof. And there's, on one hand, there's on the one side, there's something tameh, and then there's all these water droplets all around there. So do we view them all as one continuum, because they're water droplets, and they could potentially get something wet? So the answer is no. Notice, by the way, these get all more removed from each other, right? The Mashket Hofech is obviously even less likely that it would be a problem. So now they say it's not Tibor lo l'tumah v'lo l'tara. In other words, not l'tahir, not l'tameh, it's not Tumah. So therefore, why would he be asking a question about Mashket Hofech? So now they say, lo tzricha di'ika tofech latpiach. His question was about when there was a larger quantity, not just teeny droplets, but enough water that could actually get something wet and that thing would get something else. But we're already talking about a greater amount of water, and maybe that is what his question is, right? That's what he's asking. If you wash your hands and there's a lot of water on it still, and then you wash your other half of your hand, would that be considered one continuum? So now they say, wait, but hanami tanina tofech latpiach chibur. But we said that tofech latpiach is chibur, so then again, why would Ilfa be asking his question, right? Poor Ilfa. He asked this simple question and we got all crazy about it. What exactly does he mean? So now they say no. Really, and this is going to be our answer, it is, his question was about tofech latpiach, meaning that you washed half your hand, you left enough water on it that it could get something wet, which could get something else wet. And then you wash your other half of your hand, and is that considered chibur or not? Now, why wouldn't it be obvious? Because we already have a sugya that tells us that tofeach latpiach is chibur, it is considered one unit. So they say the context there was mikvah. Okay, and what in mikvah? When you have 40 se'ah, and let's say you're a little, you need 40 se'ah for a mikvah. Let's say you have a little less. So if we have tofeach latpiach, it's mechaber, and it gives you 40 se'ah on that mikvah. We'll see the case in a minute. But the answer basically is, and before we get into the details, that since tofeach latpiach is totally considered chibur, but the sugya where it discussed it was for mikvah, how much of a shear in a mikvah, maybe it would be for that, but it wouldn't necessarily, we wouldn't say the same thing when it comes to washing your hands. It could be a different issue. And therefore, that was his question. Can we apply the concept of tofeach latpiach by mikvah also to washing hands or not? Okay, now what's the sugya here? I believe we've seen this before. Yeah, came up in Chagiga. Mikvah, okay, so M. And it's only Aliva de Rabbi Yehuda, okay? In other words, maybe it's Le'inya Mikvahot and Rabbi Yehuda, he did Tanan. Mikvah sheyesh bo arba'im se'ah mechuvanot. Let's say your mikvah has exactly 40 se'ah, okay? Like to the drop. Thank you. I was looking for the word. To the drop. V'yardu shnayim v'tavlu. So two people go into the mikvah and they dip. Now, here it's in parentheses, but I'll read it anyway here because it's relevant. Shnayim bevat achad tahorim. If they go both at the same time, then they're tovim because they both jumped into a mikvah that was 40 se'ah. But what happens when you go into a mikvah and you get out of the mikvah? What happens? Your body's dripping with water. You take some of the water with you. So b'zeh achar zeh. What if you go one after the other? What's going to happen? The Rishon is Tahor because he went into a mitzvah with 40 se'ah. But Hasheni Tameh because once the first one got out, he took water with him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im hayu raglav shel Rishon nog'ot b'mayim, af Hasheni Tahor. If his foot is still in the water, then we view this whole thing as chibur because he's wet enough that he's tofeach latpiach. And therefore, right, obviously when you get out of the water, you're very wet. It's not just teeny little droplets. So therefore, we now see it's Le'inya Mikvah and it's Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, first of all, it's only one guy's opinion that says it is okay. And number two, it's only Le'inya Mikvah. And therefore, his question was, can we pass it like Rabbi Yehuda also Le'inyan, you know, for other issues? Okay. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now we're going to have another case. Hare Amru, okay, now here's a very interesting, relevant situation, okay? This is relevant to women who go to the mikveh. In those days, where did they go to the mikveh? They used to go in these caves that had pools of water there that collected from the rain. And they were very dirty because they were in the middle of these caves and they were gross. So the women would want to wash themselves off after they got out of the mikveh. And what would they use? They use mayim shuvim. What's mayim shuvim? That's mayim that can't be used for a mikvah, although we'll see in a few minutes, some case where they are allowed to be used. But generally, mayim shuvim means collected, right? You collect it, right? The way they would generally take showers in those days. They would collect water, right, and put it in a kli, and they would, you know, wash from it. Okay? Now, that water you can't use for mikvah. It's not mikvah waters. So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hare Amru, Habaro shovu rubo b'mayim shuvim, If someone's tamei and they went to a mikveh, and after they went to the mikveh, they put most of their body into almost like a bathtub full of mayim shuvim. Okay, didn't exactly have bathtubs, but something, you know, like a bathtub. Or not only that, but a tahor, someone who's tahor, shenaflu al rosho v'al rubo, that fell on most of their head and most of their body, shlosha lugim mayim, okay, a log is somewhere between a liter and 1.8 liters, depending on, you know, whose opinion you follow. So three of those, mayim shuvim, tamei. Okay, this is a crazy thing. What's the story? They were worried that people would think that mayim shuvim is what's mitaher. Okay, you can think about it also. If they went in this dirty water and then they went in this clean water, right? You would think, especially in a bathtub, right? You'd think that maybe that's the water that's mitaher, and people would come to the conclusion that mayim shuvim was kasher for mikvah. So what did they say? They said, number one, when you get out of the mikvah, you can't now go wash most of your body mayim shuvim, because people will think that that's what's cleaning you and not the actual mikvah. Okay? Number two, they went ad kedei kach, you can see how much this bothered them, that even someone tahor, okay, who is to take like a shower, naflu al rosho means basically taking a shower in mayim shuvim, would be tameh. Okay? He would become tameh. Now, what kind of tumor are we talking about? It's obviously not like an ava tumor or some high-level tumor. It's called the hizasheni, meaning he can't, right, which is the same status, by the way, of a tful yom. After he goes to the mikveh in the morning, until the sun sets, he can't eat truma. Remember, that's the whole thing, when do kohanim, when can they eat truma, and that's once the sun sets. So anyone who went to the mikveh and then washed their body is also considered a sheni l'tumah and would have to go to the mikveh again, basically, to get out of it. Okay, then Harev Shemesh won't help him. So they were so concerned about this that they were even gozer on a tahor person who was to do this. He also can't eat truma unless he goes to a mikveh, which is crazy, right? In other words, you take someone who's totally fine, you put water on top of him, and that's going to make you tamei. Okay? Again, it's just a gzera. You're obviously not really tamei, but the point is the rabbi said we don't allow you to eat truma and kodshim, obviously, also. Okay? Because kodshim is a higher level than truma. So, why is this relevant? Okay, this is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but women, when they go to the mikveh, are not allowed to take a shower right after, and it's based on this. Okay, I have a friend who was in the mikveh once, and she took a shower, you know, she's been married 16 years, had no idea that you couldn't take a shower after, never knew this halacha, and the mikveh lady started bashing on the door, and then she didn't answer the door, she didn't hear she was in the shower, she comes into the room, and she basically starts telling her, you can't take a shower after going to the mikveh. I don't know if they made her go in again, I'm not sure, but they, it was definitely invading her privacy. So anyway, there is this issue. I don't think you would have to go in again because it's just a gzera. So they wouldn't make you redo your tefillah. At least they shouldn't make you redo your tefillah. But there is this gzera that people shouldn't think that the water of the showers was cleaning you and therefore you shouldn't take a shower right after. So, you know, there's all different opinions.
Why would anyone know what you were doing?
No, it's even for your sake. It's not what would anyone know. It's what you're going to then at some point think that it's the shower water. You know, in our day, it's much harder to understand because no one's going to think a shower is a mikveh. It's very hard to understand. But in those days, when they would go in this cave and then they'd also use water like in a similar way, where like there was a pool of water and they would go in it, or you could sort of see that it would be confusing.
What? To go home caked in mud.
Right, so, right, exactly. So the idea of them being caked in mud, I think also, it's all the more so because they were caked in mud from the mikveh, it almost doesn't seem like a cleansing experience.
Ooh.
And therefore, they, you know, it's also, it's like that joke about, forget which Rebbe they tell this joke, but, you know, when he lit Hanukkah candles and he moves a broom, you know, he has all his people waiting there and then he moves the broom away to get to the Hanukkah candles and then he tells everybody, I'm not moving the broom because there's some real reason, I'm moving the broom so I can get to the, because it's in my way. So then everybody the year later, they put a broom in front of their Hanukkah candles and then they move it and they say, we're not moving the broom because it's, you know, but we're moving it because it's in the way, you know. So it's a matter of when you get right, and it's when anything becomes ceremonial, where every time you go to the mikveh, you then dip in these mayim shuvim, you might think that that's actually what's cleansing you. Like you might not realize at a certain point, maybe you will, but maybe your kids won't. In other words, it becomes something that's such a norm that it becomes confusing at a certain point. What's the main thing and what's not? So I think that's why. So again, there's obviously an issue of a separation of time. So as soon as there's some separation, and then there's obviously different opinions about how much time. You know, if you come home from the mikvah and then you take a shower, that seems already like there's a break between it. It's already okay. But to do it at the mikvah is more of a problem. So I think here also, I assume that there's a, maybe they came home a little bit muddy and then they would, you know, after a few minutes or after, it's unclear exactly how much time, but something has to pass for there to be some sort of a noticeable way of doing it. Okay, so now the question is, that was just the background, right? What's our mitzterfin case here that we want to connect two things? By Rabbi Yirmiyah, chetzio bibi'ah v'chetzio b'nefilah mai. What if half you washed half your body, right? We said rosho v'rubo. Let's say you washed half your body by going into a tub and half b'nefilah, half like a shower, right? One half of your body you wash one way and one half your body the other way. Would that be mitzteref to say it's problematic? The answer is teku. Okay, you can almost hear by his question, even though there really is no answer here, if the woman really wanted to do it, maybe they could come up with some way to do it, right? Like Esti says, we don't want them to come home caked in mud. So maybe they could wash half their body with in a tub and then half their body in a pail or something. And half their body they could pour water over. And maybe they could resolve it that way. But here they actually don't give an answer. Again, this is Rabbi Yirmiyah. I always like to mention it, right? He asks all these, right? Here it's actually a nitpicky question that's helpful. But but you know, he's trying to figure out, what if this, what if that? Okay. Amar Rav Papa. Hare amru, okay, now we have to, another background. Baal keri. A baal keri, right, is someone who ejaculates. So now, a baal keri, what's his story? He has to go to the mikvah, okay? But, one second. Right, he's not exactly, one second. This is all a gzera of Ezra. I think he's not... One second, let me get this straight for a second. He is... Right. Ezra made a takana. In other words, he's tamei, but for, you know, tuma stuff. But Ezra made a takana that he can't even learn Torah. He wanted to basically deter people from having too much sexual activity. So he said that you can't learn Torah until you go to the mikvah. Okay, he made a takana. So now the question is, okay, so not the question yet. He made a takana that they're tamei for Talmud Torah. However, like I said before, you have to go in mei mikvah, not mayim she'uvim. But in this case, you're allowed to go in mayim she'uvim, and that will resolve it for you. Okay, then you can learn Torah. It'll matur you for learning Torah, not from the tumah, but from the tumah that prevents you from learning Torah. In other words, again, this is a made-up tumah, right? It's saying you cannot learn Torah until you go to a mikvah, but a mikvah could be mayim she'uvim in this case. So now the question is, and again, it has to be a certain amount of tisha kabin, nine kabin, okay? Before we had, right, I forget exactly how much a kav is. But anyway, Amar Rav Papa, Haram Rubal, Keri Chole, Shenatnu Alav Tisha Kabim Mayim, Tahor. Okay, if they pour on him nine kabim of mayim, he becomes Tahor. By Rav Papa, so Rav Papa asks now, Chetzio b'tfila v'chetzio b'netina mai. What if half his body he dunked in, and half his body was, sorry, I think they mean half of the nine kabin. Four and a half he dunked in, four and a half they poured on him. Would that count? Would that work? Again, the answer is teku. We don't know. Okay, so all sorts of cases of mitzarfim. We had some answers for some we left in teku. We don't know the answer.
That seems like a dangerous game to play also, that you can be tahor from this kind of water here. I mean, that's even more than...
Yes. So you have to understand the baal keri was a totally different category. And I should mention that at a certain point, they were mevatel, this takana of Ezra Bichlal. So they clearly treated it as, you know, not as serious a thing as other takanot of Ezra, by the way, which we do still have today. Okay, like, for example, washing yourself before the mikvah is a takana of Ezra. You have to do chafifa, which is machloka, whether it means washing your hair or maybe even washing your whole body. Or kriyat ha-Torah, right? Every Monday, Thursday, we still do. But this takana, they got rid of at a certain point, okay? So I think you could just see that they didn't treat it super seriously. Everyone knew it wasn't really tuma. Everyone knew that it was just a... you know, again, a preventative type thing. So because of that, I mean, I agree with you. How could you all of a sudden matur mayim shuvim when you couldn't at all, and then you made this zera for the women not to? But here I think they just viewed it as a totally different category. Because again, also, it wasn't mitaher him entirely. Everybody knew that. Right. It only allowed him to learn Torah. So So there was also, it's like ati lechlufa b'kiyum shtara. When are we worried about mixing people up, and when are we not worried? So in this case, they weren't really worried because they weren't really mitaherim lagamre. So it was okay.
It's very interesting that they use all these comparisons to the issue of combining signatures and witness, because these seem so much less serious and weightier.
Yes.
Fewer implications.
Yes. Right. They are much less serious than a get case, and much less. Yeah. Definitely agreed. Okay. Back to our issue. Okay, remember that case? So here I brought you all the cases of the Mishnah in a chart because I didn't get to do it yesterday. So here you have all the cases. I put all the Pasulim separately the way the Mishnah did it. In other words, the first four they put together and said Pasul. And the next case was Pasul, the next case was a Machloka, and the next case was Kasher. So now we're going to look at case number five there. Okay, after the first four Pasulim, right, if one guy says not a full statement, okay, that was all the first four. Okay, he says fana nechtam, not fana nechtam. He says half of it or part of it. Okay, so those cases are all pasul. Now we're on the one where there's two people. One says b'fana nechtam and one says b'fana nechtam. Okay, so now we're going to discuss today, we talked about this yesterday, are we talking about that both were the shaliach or one was the shaliach and one was an added-on guy? He wasn't a guy who was bringing the get, but he happened to have seen what was going on. Okay, so now we're going to have, if you look at the chart here, Girsa 1 and Girsa 2. That's going to be the difference between the two Girsaot. Okay, now there's a, you can see from the side here, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is going to say something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. They're going to infer something from here about when two witnesses bring a get. If two shlichim bring it, do they have to say fana nechtam or not? Abai is going to ask a question, he's going to answer it. Abai is going to ask another question, he's going to answer it. Okay, that's going to be the structure for both Girsaot. Okay, it's just the content of each is going to be flipped. Okay. Echad omer b'fanai nechtam, echad omer b'fanai nechtam. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu ela. Okay, that means this Mishnah was only said in a particular case. She'ein haget yotzei mitachat yedei shnehem. Okay, the first Girsa is going to say this is only in a case where they're both not the shlichim. If they were both the shlichim, then aval get yotzei yotachat yedei shnehem. Right. If two people were to bring the get as shlichim, and one said b'fanai nechtam, and one said b'fanai nechtam, kashir. Okay, why? Because alma kasaver, it must be he holds, shnayim shebiyu get mi medina hayam, ein shrichim shimru b'fanai nechtam. Okay, they don't need to say b'fanai nechtam. Okay, we saw this before, that there was an opinion that said it. What?
Because they're two.
Okay, once they're two, then we assume, okay, there's two ways of looking at it, depending whether you hold rubber or rubber. If you hold Rabba that the issue is Lishma, so the assumption is that if this guy's sending two witnesses, that the whole thing was done, Kemoshe Tzarich. And if you say Rava, that it's Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo, then you don't have to worry anymore because the get was brought by two people. Assumption, okay, you have to make this assumption, that these two people are now staying in Israel, they're not leaving, and that these two people will be around. If we need to verify the signatures, we have two witnesses now to verify. Okay. Amar le Abaye, if that's the case that we're talking about that both were the shlichim, then you're going to have a problem with the next line of the Mishnah. Okay, look at the next line of the Mishnah. Okay, so if you look at the chart, we're on the sixth. Okay, I didn't number them, but the sixth one, the second to last. Ela me'ata seifa dekatane shnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtam ve'echar omer b'fanai nechtam pasul v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So now, what's going to be the problem with this? Tama, what's the reason why it's pasul according to Tanakama? De'ein haget yotzei yotacha midei shnehem. Haget yotzei mitacha yidei shnehem, machshirei Rabbanan. In other words, are you going to tell me that the reason this doesn't work according to Rabbanan is because, right, it seems to me that the reason it doesn't work is because the get is not coming from the two people. But if get were to be yotzei yotacha midei shnehem, how do we read this question? Give me a minute. Tama de'ena get yotzei mitachat yedei shnehem. Right, but if the get were to be... Right, sorry. Okay. This Girsa is saying that it wasn't sent by two shlichim, right? So now he's saying, according to this, so how do you explain this machlokah between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim? Are you saying that if in actuality, right, this case is... Not that they were both shlichim. One was a shalim. Now, in this case, by the way, there's three people, right? Two say b'fanai nechtav. One says b'fanai nechtam. Okay, let's assume the two that say b'fanai nechtav were not the shaliach. Okay, then the third guy is the shaliach, and he says b'fanai nechtam. So are you saying that if one of those two guys who said b'fanai nechtav was the shaliach, then, meaning there were two shlichim, then you think chachamim would be machshir? Okay? So Amar Lein, yeah, I do think so, he says. By the way, yeah, if they were two, I think so. So then he says, v'chi ein get yotze mitachi yidei shnehem b'mai plige. So then what's the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim? He wants to understand. What are they arguing about? So what's the answer? Mar savar gazrina dilma ati lechlufe b'kiyum shtarit ha'alma be'ed echad. Umar savar lo gazrinan. If the shaliach is the one who said b'fanai nechtam, okay, then what's the issue? Really, what do you need according to Rabbah anyway, right? According to Rabbah, Ani Dimitsuyim Lakaima, what do you need? You need testimony, right? Even both of them hold this, that there's the Adrim are good. So in this case, what happened? The shaliach said b'fanai nechtam. So we said it was good. So we really can be Makayim the get based on his testimony. What's the problem? The problem is, since he didn't say b'fanai nechtav, maybe we should be concerned that people are going to think this is just typical kiyum shtarot, and we're going to get confused and think that all kiyum shtarot can be done with one. So that's why Tanakhama says it's no good. And Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is good. Why? Because we had two other people who testified about the Lishma issue. And as you have to remember, right, there's two issues. There's Lishma and there's Eidim. So if the one guy said, right, if the shaliach said nechtam b'fanai, right, then what do we have? We have, right, the eidim are good now, because we accept that guy to say that the eidim are good. And the lishma, what do we have? We have two eidim that say it was done lishma. So we should be fine, okay? So the question is, the reason why Tanakhama says it's no good is because the shaliach himself didn't say b'fanai nechtav, people are going to confuse it. And as remember, we said then, why aren't people going to confuse it with kiyum shtarot? Because he has to say this whole long thing, both about b'fanai nechtav and about b'fanai nechtam. In this case, yes, it's true, there were two witnesses that said b'fanai nechtav, but since he himself didn't say it, we'll confuse this with our kiyum shtarot, think it's okay with one. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're not going to confuse, because there were two witnesses that came about the ketiva, and therefore we know that this is a unique thing, and we're not going to be concerned that they're going to confuse it. So those are the two different ways of looking at it. That's why they have a machloket about it. Okay? Lishna achrina, by the way, the main crux of all these things is that the whole question is, what's the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim? As we have to determine what's the case to figure out then what they're actually arguing about. So lishna achrina is now going to be the opposite. Amre la, Amar of Shmuel, Yehuda, Amar of Yochanan. Some people say that this is what he said. Afilu get yotzei mitachem yidei shnehem pasul. Even if both of them were the shlichim, the get is still pasul. So what's the inference now? Alma kasavar shnayim shiviyu get mimidinat hayam tzrichim shiomru b'faneinu nechtam, faneinu nechtam. They must hold, right, the people who thought that this is what he said are assuming that he holds the two shlichim come, they still need to say b'fanei nechtam, faneinu nechtam. So Amar Le Abaye Ela Me'ata, but now what's the issue? Seifa Dekatane Shnayim Omrim B'Faneinu Nechtav Ve'Echad Omer B'Fanai Nechtam Pasul Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Afilu Get Yotzei Yitach Midei Shnehem Pasle Rabbanan. In this case, what's the case? We have two witnesses. We have two shlichim, right? And now they both said, let's say B'Fanai Nechtav, and then one guy comes and is Me'id on the Chatima. So how could they apostle this? If two shlichim brought it, right? Sorry, one second. Afilu get yotzei mitachem yidei shnehem pasle rabbanan. In other words, we're going to assume that even though the get came by two people, we're going to apostle it. Why wouldn't we think to apostle in this case? Because what's the issue? Two came and said b'fanai nechtav. Those were the shlichim. So they're believed about the lishma issue, right? Because the shlichim themselves brought it. What about the eidim? Well, about the eidim, we don't even really need anybody because the two people are now mitsuyim. We don't need anyone to talk about the signatures, because if we have an issue with the signatures, we'll go find the two witnesses. So how could Rabbanan pasul in this case? So Amar Le'in, no, they really could. V'may kami flagei, what's their machloket then? Mar savar lefi she'ein b'kiyim lishma, u'mar savar lefi she'ein eidi mitsuyim l'kaimo. What does he say? Tanakhama is going to hold that the issue is lishma. And what does that mean then? That they really have to say that the ketiva was lishma, and that the Chatima was Lishma. And they didn't testify about the Chatima at all. And that's the issue, okay? Because they didn't testify about the Chatima, saying the Chatima was Lishma, therefore, this is not a good get, because the Lishma is the issue. According to the other guy, we only care about the Edim, right? The Pisha'en Edim would say Makaimo. And in this case, there's two witnesses that brought it, and therefore the two witnesses will be existing if we need to find Edim. So it doesn't matter that they didn't say Befaneinu Nechtam, because they'll be, you can find them whenever you want. And that's why he thinks it's okay. So now, once we set that up, what are we going to try to do? If you remember from the beginning of the Masechet, Lema de Rabba v'Rabba Tanaihi. Ah, so now what do we see here? If Rabbi Yehuda matches up with Rava, and Tanakama matches up with Rava, then what do we have here? Machloket, the Rava and Rava is actually based on the Machloket Tanaim. So now they say, no, you can't necessarily say that. Again, it's all a matter of maybe it's true, but you can't necessarily say it. Why? Because Rava Mataritz Kalishnakama. Rava could say, I hold like the first Girsa. Remember, there's two Girsa out here, in which case this has nothing to do with our Machloket. And Rabba could say, Amar lecha, dekulei alma be'inan lishma. Rabba will say, no, really, both opinions think you need lishma. But hacha b'mayas kinan, remember this, la'achar shalamdu. It's really, even Rabbi Yehuda would think that we need lishma, but what's the issue? In this case, you don't need it because they already learned, right? Remember, the whole thing was at some point in history, they learned that you need to do lishma, and therefore he doesn't need it. And the machloket between them is really, do we need to make a gzera for lishma, right? Maybe people will eventually forget the halacha. Demar savar gazrinan, umar savar lo gazrinan. Okay? So we'll stop here. We'll do one more line. The liflognami Rabbi Yehuda Bereisha. So if that's the case, then Rabbi Yehuda should also argue on the earlier case. Ha'itmarala. So now the answer. Ha'itmarala amar Ula chaluk haya Rabbi Yehuda af berishona. Okay, so Ula says, oh, he really does argue on the earlier case. In other words, if according to what we've just set up, that, one second, how does this work? He should argue in the Reisha, in the case of Echad Omer B'fanai Nechtam, Echad Omer B'fanai Nechtam. Because again, the assumption is at this point that based on the Lishna, based on the second Lashon, what are we going to say? That it's two Shlichim brought it. And if two Shlichim brought it, then Rabbi Yehuda should also say there that it's Kasher, because he thinks it's okay once you have two people bringing it. Right? That's what we just explained. So Ula says, oh, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda did disagree about the earlier case. It just doesn't say so. And then Mativ Rav Hoshaya Ula, but Rav Hoshaya comes and says to Ula, wait a minute. It says Rabbi Yehuda Machshir V'Zoh V'Lo Ba'Acheret. It sounds like, right? What did we learn? That Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing on this one and not on the other case. So then Rabbi Yehuda isn't arguing on that case. So they say, no, my love L'Mi'ute Echad Omer B'Fanai Nechtav, Echad Omer B'Fanai Nechtav, Lo L'Mi'ute B'Fanai Nechtav, Aval Lo B'Fanai Nechtav. So what does this mean? Okay, the whole question here is, when Rabbi Yehuda just argues, right, look at your cases. So we were talking about cases number 5 and 6, right? So when we say Rabbi Yehuda argues about Rabbi Yehuda's machshir in case 6, why are we saying he thinks it's okay? Because two people brought it, right? And then we have Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, or however you would explain it according to the other opinion, right? Where there's no gzera, lo gazrinan about the lishma, lachar shalamdu. If that's the case, then any time we have two shlichim bringing it, it should be fine. So case number 5 should also be okay. So Ula says, you're right. Case number 5 really is okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It just didn't say so in the Mishnah. But when it says Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, it means also 5 and also 6. But then they say, but wait a minute. It says somewhere else that Rabbi Yehuda is only Machshir in this case and not in the other case. So they say, no. This case and not in the other case means this case meaning 5 and 6, but not cases 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? And then, so why would he have to tell us not cases 1, 2, 3, and 4? Okay, we'll finish with this. Salkadata hamina ho ilvalo gazer Rabbi Yehuda gzera shema yachzor davala kilkulo. Since he wasn't gozer, that maybe we have to be worried that it'll go back to the way it was and, you know, we'd need it. Dilma ati lichluvi b'kiyum shtarat alma be'er echad. If he no longer needs the shema issue, then it's just a kiyum shtarat issue. If it's just a kiyum shtarat issue, what are we going to say? Oh, well, maybe we won't allow this because people will think the regular kiyum shtara will be okay. But echad nami lo gazar. Sorry, don't have echad nami lo gazar. Maybe you would think that he's not worried about, if he's not worried about gzeirah shamei yachzor deval kilkulo, so maybe he just doesn't do gzeirot in general, and he's not worried about the dumala achlufe b'kiyum shtara t'ama be'ed echad. Therefore, kamashmalan, they had to tell you that he is. Okay, that in a case where somebody says b'fanai nechtav, sorry, b'fanai nechtam, but not b'fanai nechtav, right, we can't accept it. Because if you just say b'fanai nechtam, we're going to assume it's a kiyum shtara, right? The kiyum shtara, you'll learn from here to other kiyum shtara. Remember, that was the whole reason why you have to say both. So the people won't think that regular kiyum shtara you could do with one. So what was the thinking, right? Why did they have to tell us b'zo v'lo b'zo? Because you might have thought that if he's not gozer on Shemayah Surah Devala Kukulam, he also isn't gozer on Ate Lechalupa B'Kim Shtarot. And therefore comes to teach you, no, he is. He's concerned about Kim Shtarot, he's just not concerned about they may forget the Lishma issue, and therefore you have to have it. Okay, so we'll stop here for today.